Scripture reading for this morning is found in the book of Luke, chapter 1, verses 8 through 17. Luke, chapter 1, verses 8 through 17. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty, and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. So you get the picture. The temple of the Lord in Jerusalem. Hundreds of worshipers gathered outside to pray. Zechariah is chosen for that day for the special task of going in and burning incense, which represents the prayers of the people. He's got a very important responsibility in the temple to get that incense rising to God. So you see that picture. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son." Okay, you need to see another picture. Back up in verse 7. Elizabeth and Zechariah, husband and wife, they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. So here's an angel of the Lord telling Zechariah that what had been impossible in their life up to this time, but what was necessary for God to complete his mission and to accomplish his purpose on, it was going to happen. Think about that, because here Elizabeth and Zechariah, older in age, unable to have children, are not going to have a baby. Fast forward just a few months from then, and here's a young teenager, not even married yet, being told by an angel of the Lord, guess what? You're going to have a baby. And if you think up through the scriptures from Genesis with Abraham and Sarah, all the way through Old Testament, New Testament, what is impossible for men, seemingly so, God says, well, that's not going to stop me. I'm still going to accomplish what I need to accomplish. Wait, that's another sermon. Okay. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. This is the word of God for the people of God. So I don't know if you've noticed, but it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. On our way home from Chicago yesterday, on the other side of I-65 going north, we were coming south, there was a huge truckload of cut Christmas trees. There probably were 1,000 Christmas trees on this huge truck. And okay, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. I saw a man on top of his roof. Wait, how many times do you see people up on their roof? I guess he was hanging some lights. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. There was one yard, I don't know if you've ever gone up to Indianapolis on 74, but it's just a little south of Indy on 74 coming this way, off to the right. There was one yard, you could not fit another inflatable in that yard. There must have been 30 inflatable Christmas figures in this man's yard. It was beginning to look a lot like Christmas. People wrap their yard light poles with lights. That doesn't happen except around Christmas. A couple days ago, I remember sitting in front of the TV with some of my family watching the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. So the question then is, how ready are you for Christmas? Are you ready? What will you do over the next 4 weeks to prepare for December the 25th? Probably decorating, maybe some more, maybe shopping, maybe doing some extra visiting, maybe sending some cards out, maybe baking some Christmas cookies. There's a lot of things that we do to get ready for December 25th. Well, in verse 17 of the passage that we just read, it says this: He, meaning John the Baptist, he will go before the Lord, meaning Jesus Christ, in the spirit and the power of Elijah, meaning a great Old Testament prophet, in order, and this is the reason, in order to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. See, God wanted his people to be ready for Christmas. And so it's okay if you take the next 4 weeks and you do a lot to get ready for Christmas. That's a biblical thing. The question is, what are we doing to get ready for Christmas? And does it help us be prepared like John the Baptist helped the Israelites to be ready for Christmas? John the Baptist came as a fulfillment of prophecy. Through the ancient prophets, God had promised that he would send a savior, send a deliverer, send a redeemer, send the Messiah. And God didn't want his people to miss the Messiah, so he sent what Isaiah and Malachi refer to as a forerunner, somebody who came to prepare the way for the Lord, someone to announce the main event. It's about to happen. And that's where John the Baptist comes in. He showed up on the scene in Jerusalem maybe a year or so before Jesus' public appearance, and he said to all of Israel, "Are you ready to rumble?" That's what he said. My apologies to Michael Buffer. And so many people came out to see this wild guy. I mean, the Bible says that he just was strangely dressed. He was wild looking. He lived out in the wilderness. But remember what the angel told Zechariah. He's not to drink beer or wine. You couldn't say that he was, some weird person because of what he drank or what he ate. It was just that God was using him to get people's attention. And he was calling people to get ready for the Lord. And so John the Baptist, a wild-looking desert dweller, would preach from the Old Testament scriptures. He would preach about the coming Messiah, the promised one. He would challenge people to confess their sins, repent, and be baptized in the Jordan River. And through his ministry, through his preaching, a national revival just spread its way across the land. People's hearts were being prepared for the advent of the Lord. Now, some people were offended at John the Baptist's preaching, particularly Herod. John the Baptist publicly called on the king's son, whose name was Herod, and called him to repent of his sins, because the king's son, Herod the Tetrarch, that's what he's called in scripture, because he was in charge of a quarter of the whole region that the king Herod, his father, was in charge of. So he had three other brothers, and they were all in charge of a quarter of it. So Herod, the king's namesake, had married his niece, divorced his first wife, married his niece, and this niece happened to be his brother's wife, and that wasn't kosher. And so John the Baptist, everybody knew it, was in all the, rags and things you pick up and see in the grocery line. People just knew that that was the case. And so John the Baptist said, "Hey, what you're doing is wrong. What you've done is just, it offends righteousness. God's not happy with you." And so Herod, in his power, eventually had John the Baptist arrested and beheaded. But not before John the Baptist had done his job. Jesus had come to this wildly wonderful evangelism event where John the Baptist was preaching at the Jordan River, and John pointed him out. John chapter 1, verse 29. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. There he is. It's him. It's not me. It's him. Look, it's him that you need to focus on. So his ministry was all about helping God's people prepare for the advent of Jesus Christ. And his message is still the path we follow today to prepare our own hearts to meet the Lord. So today on this first Sunday of Advent, we're going to listen to that same message that John the Baptist preached so long ago in order to help us get ready for Jesus. That's what it meant. That's what it was meant to do originally, and that's what it still does today. Helps us get ready for Jesus. Now, I know you have a lot of plans between now and December 25th. I know you do. And what I'm hoping is that we'll be encouraged to include the things that we learned today. And there's three things that John the Baptist's message had in order for people to get ready to accept and see and include the Messiah in their life. There were these three things about how to get ready for Christmas. The first one was one that John's message is most famous for, and that's this idea of repenting. If you did word association, you said John the Baptist, the next word out of your mouth probably would be repent, because that was the main thrust of his message. In verse 16 of Luke chapter 1, it says, he will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. And that's what repentance means. You'll come back to the Lord. You're wandered away a little bit. Maybe you're heading the wrong way. Wait, repent. That means turn around. Don't go that same way. Stop what you're doing and come back to the Lord. And in order to come back to the Lord, we first have to acknowledge that we're going in the wrong direction. We first have to realize that we've committed some things that, if we were honest, we're not proud of, that we know God's not proud of. We call them sins. It's all out of our selfishness, our self-centeredness. And that's what it means to repent. We come back to God. We seek his mercy. We seek his forgiveness. We confess our shortcomings. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, which is in the Old Testament, long before John the Baptist, long before Jesus showed up on the scene. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, God still calls his people, even at that time, to turn to him. It says, if my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sins. I will heal their land, heal their nation. John the Baptist's message was primarily that same one of repentance. Turn back to the Lord. In fact, Jesus' first message was about repentance. In Mark chapter 1, when Jesus shows up on the scene, and he's preaching as well, he's talking about God's plan. He says, repent and believe the gospel, the good news. So one way to make sure you're ready for Christmas is to turn to the Lord, to seek his face, to ask for forgiveness. I hope we include that in our preparation for December 25th. A second thing that John says is in his message, this is in verse 17, chapter 1 of Luke, is that he will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, the hearts of the parents to their children. In other words, he's calling on God's people to fill their homes with love. By today's standards, family life in the ancient Roman Empire was just horrendous. Children were thought of mostly as possessions, only valuable for what labor that they could provide or what they could bring on the slave market. And so one way that John the Baptist was calling ancient Israel, and one way that, again, today we can prepare for the coming of Jesus is to make sure that we get things right at home, that love fills our homes, that we open our hearts to genuine loving relationships, especially to the people who live under the same roof as we do, husbands and wives, parents and children, brothers and sisters. I know these holidays, Thanksgiving and Christmas, can be difficult for some families to get together. You may have this situation in your family, because many families do, that some family members don't show up for Thanksgiving on purpose, or for Christmas on purpose, because they're at outs with other family members. And that makes it hard. Makes it hard on everyone. So you might want to pray about and think about, what ways can love work in that situation? What ways can God's love, which is able to do incredibly more than we can imagine, what ways can God's love fill your home, build those relationships, restore a sense of peace and grace in your household? Repent, fill our homes with love. And the third piece of John the Baptist's message was that last part of verse 17, where it says, "He will turn the disobedient to the wisdom of righteousness." It's one thing to acknowledge what is right. It's one thing to acknowledge and confess what we've done wrong. But that whole process of repentance isn't complete until we pursue the right thing. And so the third piece of John's message is do the right thing. Okay, so you've repented and you've confessed and you've sought forgiveness for what is wrong. Okay, now do the right thing. Don't just stop with, "I'm sorry for what I've done." No, make it right. Find out how to live in a way that is full of righteousness and holiness and grace. Once people heard John's message, they were moved deep in their soul, and they asked John, "What should we do?" Which is the natural outcome of hearing the good news. Turn from your ways, fill your life, your heart, your home with love. Okay, now what? What should we do? In the third chapter of Luke, we find this passage, and starting with verse 10. "So the people asked, 'What should we do then?' And John answered, 'Well, anyone who has two shirts should share the one he has, should share one with some that with those who have none. Anyone who has food should do the same.'" In other words, be generous. Help the poor. If there's folks who are hungry in your midst, share with them. That's what you should do. "Even the tax collectors came to be baptized. 'Teachers,' they asked John, 'what should we do?' And John said, 'Don't collect any more than you're required to.'" In other words, be respectful of people. Treat people fairly. Don't cheat them. "Then some soldiers," these are Roman soldiers asked him, "What should we do?" And he replied, "Don't extort money and don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay." In other words, be honest. Don't be greedy. So in those few short verses, after John preaches about repentance and love and doing the right thing, people said, "Oh, what does that mean? What should we do?" Be generous. Be respectful of others. Be honest. Those are the right things to do. So one way to make sure you're ready for Christmas is to do the right thing. Check your behavior. Is it in sync with God's plan for your life? This time of year, there's lot of sports going on. Have you noticed that? And being a somewhat of a sports guy myself, it's hard not to watch football on Thanksgiving. You know, there's football, college football, professional football, high school football still wrapping up. Just this weekend, in Indiana, at Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis, the high school various classes played for the championship. There's six classes in Indiana. Class 4, Class 4A, champions were crowned this past weekend. East Central High School from St. Leon, Indiana, where my daughter graduated from. They won the state championship this weekend. Just had to work that in. But see, that's all going on this time of year. We've got basketball going on, college basketball, professional basketball. We got soccer going on, international soccer's taking center stage in the sports world these days. Volleyball is going on. Just all kinds of sports things. And even hockey. I don't know. I haven't met too many hockey fans around here, and I'm not a fan of hockey, but I'll watch it once in a while. I've even been to a Chicago Blackhawks game at the United Center in Chicago. One of the reasons it's hard for me to watch hockey is because of all the hard checking that's going on. If you're familiar with hockey, you know, checking is a legal hockey move. And what it means is if the puck is up against the boards or the big, you know, wall that goes around the hockey rink, and you want to try to get that puck away from your opponent, you can skate with as fast as you can and slam your body into that opponent's body up against the boards and try to secure the puck for yourself. Try to get that away from your opponent. And it can be some hard checking going on. It can look and seem pretty violent. And if that checking gives you an advantage, then that's what the rule is there for. It allows that to happen. And I think that more than anything takes some time to get used to if you're trying to watch hockey. And I share that with you this morning because that's what John the Baptist was doing spiritually. He was checking God's people. He was slamming their wayward consciences up against the boards of holiness and righteousness, trying to give God the advantage in their life. And it doesn't always feel good, and it doesn't always seem right. And to some people in John the Baptist's day, his checking, his spiritual checking, was out of bounds. That should be against the rules. That shouldn't be allowed. We don't like that. We take offense at that. But that's exactly what God had called him to from get-go, from day one, from before he was even born. That's what God anointed John the Baptist to do some spiritual checking in the arena of his people's spiritual life. And so if we're going to take the message of John the Baptist to heart this morning to help prepare us for Christmas, then we need to be open to God doing some checking in our heart. We need to acknowledge that there's some ways in which we've gone wayward, and we need to let our consciences be slammed, confess our sins before the Lord, accept his love and share that love with others. And do the right thing. That would be his message for us today. And my prayer is that we all take that to heart. Get it? Good. Let's pray together. Our loving Father, gracious God, we're just amazed how powerful your word is, even from nearly 2,000 years ago. it still finds its way into our minds and hearts with some impact. We pray that the next 4 weeks, that you'll help us be prepared for Christmas. And not just with the decorations and the cards and the visits and the baking, but you'll help us be prepared spiritually. Help us to seek your face, to turn to you, to draw close to you. Help us to draw close to others, offering forgiveness and grace and love. And help us to walk a holy life, straight and narrow. Do the right thing. We know we're not on our own to do this. We know that you're there for us, present with us and within us to help us through these preparations. Make us a people who are ready for Christmas. That's our prayer. In Christ's name, amen.